From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo inaugurates the Jakarta Floating PLTS. Vice President reminds regional heads of key role in eradicating extreme poverty. Indonesia's export 243 tons of fisheries to China. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news where Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Jakarta Floating Solar Power Plant in Purwakarta Regency, West Java on Thursday. In his speech, the president said that the construction of this power plant is a form of utilizing new, renewable energy. In the future, the potential of the power plant Jakarta Floating will be developed to supply energy in Java, Bali, and Madura on a large scale.
In Jakarta, there is already a hydroelectric power plant with the capacity of 1,000 megawatts, and now it is being supplemented by a floating solar power plant of 192 megawatts peak. In the future, if maximized, it could add approximately 1,000 megawatt peak.
The construction of Jakarta Floating Solar Power Plant has received praise from the Minister of Foreign Trade of the United Arab Emirates, Tani bin Ahmad Al Zayudi. The Jakarta Floating Solar Power Plant occupies a reservoir's area of 200 hectares with a peak capacity of 192 megawatts and is the largest power plant in Southeast Asia and the third largest in the world. The development itself is a collaboration between Indonesia through PLN Nusantara Power and a company from the United Arab Emirates, Masdar Clean Energy. Vice President Maruf Amin on Thursday reminded regional heads of their crucial role in efforts to achieve zero extreme poverty in Indonesia by 2024. He made the statement at the National Coordination Meeting and Provisions of Fiscal Incentive for the current year for extreme poverty elimination performance in 2023 in Jakarta. Amin emphasized that regional heads have a crucial role in creating programs and activities, as well as in the use of regional budgets for accelerating extreme poverty elimination. He asked for consistency from regional heads, especially in carrying out strategies to reduce people's spending burdens, increase people's income sustainably, and reduce pockets of poverty. He also highlighted the need to focus on community empowerment that prioritizes the aspects of growth, social justice, and accessibility. The National Food Agency Bapanas and Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology signed a cooperation agreement on Thursday with 29 strategic partners to strengthen food and nutrition security through the Healthy School Campaign. Nita Yulianis, the agency's director for food and nutrition awareness, said this collaboration aims to realize healthy, intelligent, active and productive Indonesian children that supports the Pancasila Students Profile and Indonesia's Golden Generation 2045. She stated that the Healthy School Campaign symbolizes collaboration between partners aimed at improving students' health, making them more intelligent and dignified. Meanwhile, Minister of Education, Culture, Research and Technology Nadiem Makarim on the same occasion stated that his ministry continues to encourage improvements in quality education with various breakthroughs in the independent learning program over the last 4 years. Scientists have rediscovered a long-lost species of mammal described as having the spines of a hedgehog, the snout of an anteater, and the feet of a mole in Indonesia's Cyclops Mountains more than 60 years after it was last recorded. Attenborough's long-beaked echidna, named after British naturalist David Attenborough, was photographed for the first time by a trail camera on the last day of a four-week expedition led by Oxford University scientists. Echidnas share their name with the half-woman, half-serpent Greek mythological creature and were described by the team as shy, nocturnal burrow dwellers who are notoriously difficult to find. The species has only been scientifically recorded once before by a Dutch botanist in 1961. A different echidna species is found throughout Australia and lowland New Guinea. The Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Sakti Wahyu Trenggono, released 243 tons of fisheries products packaged over 9 containers to be exported to Fuzhou and Xiamen, China. The fisheries products exported include 189 tons of squids, 27 tons of mackerel, and 27 tons of frozen pomfret, amounting to 18.7 billion rupiah. The information was stated by the Director General of Marine and Fisheries Products Competitiveness, Budi Sulistyo. The export release in Muara Baru, Budi added, has fulfilled all requirements to conduct export from the certificates of good manufacturing practices to approval number to export to China. Budi also reported that there are more potential importers from China interested in Indonesian fisheries. These products include squid, mackerel, red snapper, silver white croaker, and grouper reaching 58,000 tons with 3.4 trillion rupiah of value. Let's move on to the international news, where Thai sugar export could face delays next year, producers and sellers of the sweetener said after the government introduced new measures to protect domestic supply and prevent smuggling. Thailand, the world's largest sugar exporter after Brazil, last week classified sugar as a controlled food good, requiring government approval for export of over 1 ton, a measure some traders said could slow down deliveries. A delay in sugar export from Thailand could support global sugar prices, which are trading close to a 12-year high. The government reversed a domestic price hike of 20% per kilo days after it was approved, trying to balance the interests of sugarcane farmers who have been also been hit by higher costs but have not been able to increase local prices. Representative from the Islamic World Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization and the UNESCO Regional Center for Quality and Excellence in Education, in coordination with the National Commission for Education, Culture and Science, have signed an agreement in Paris to boost educational policies. The Saudi press agencies reported that the signing of the agreement, which took place during the 42nd session of the UNESCO's General Conference, will be effective for 5 years and will play a part in the launch of joint projects between ISESCO and UNESCO, including the Arab Model Projects for Quality and Excellence in Education and the Educational Leaders Training Project. The agreement will include the scheduling of a series of regional workshops to enhance educational systems in Arab countries.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on deportation of Afghans from Pakistan. On November 1, 2023, Pakistan's Ministry of Interior issued instruction to all provinces to deport illegal foreigners in Pakistan. Previously, on October 3, the Pakistani government asked all foreign nationals living illegally in Pakistan to voluntarily leave the country. This policy has particularly impacted Afghan refugees in Pakistan, as they are the largest group of undocumented foreigners in the country. According to the Pakistani government, around 1.7 million Afghans live illegally in Pakistan. The Pakistani government continues to carry out deportations of illegal foreign nationals, including Afghan nationals, despite call by the United Nations and Human Rights Watch to stop the action. To date, as quoted from VOA on November 8, more than 250,000 people have crossed from Pakistan to Afghanistan since the ultimatum in October. Pakistan says most of them left voluntarily, but Kabul insists they have been forcibly repatriated since the November 1st deadline passed. Pakistani Prime Minister Anwar ul Haq Kakar on Wednesday, escorted by VOA, said that Afghanistan's failure to stop Pakistani militants from operating in its territory was the reason Islamabad expelled hundreds of thousands of Afghan migrants. Prime Minister Kakar at a press conference revealed that some Afghans were also involved in many suicide attacks and other clashes with Pakistani troops. He added that 15 suicide bombing incidents in recent months were carried out by Afghans. The Pakistani Prime Minister said there had been a 60% increase in terror incidents in Pakistan, resulting in 2,267 deaths since the Taliban took power in Afghanistan in August 2021. According to him, the perpetrators of terror incidents used bases in Afghanistan, and Afghan citizens were also involved. On the other hand, Kabul did not take any action, despite Pakistan's frequent complaints to the Afghan rulers. Whatever the Pakistani government's reasons or considerations behind this deportation policy, what the Pakistani government must not ignore is the humanitarian issue. For humanitarian reasons, the United Nations and Human Rights Watch called on the Pakistani government to stop the deportation policy. For the sake of humanity, the Pakistani government should stop its deportation policy. The current social, economic, and political condition in Afghanistan make life even worse for citizens who have just been deported from Pakistan. Afghanistan's trade minister admitted that Afghanistan had been hit by various difficulties, including years of drought, a nearly paralyzed economy, and the impact of decades of war. Millions of people have become internal refugees. Also, according to him, the return of millions of Afghans from Pakistan almost simultaneously would certainly be very difficult. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuko Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
I'll begin today in history with November 10, 1945, the Battle of Surabaya, known as Heroes Day. In Indonesia, every year, November the 10th is always celebrated as Heroes Day. The commemoration of Heroes Day cannot be separated from the battle between Indonesian fighters and British troops in Surabaya, which occurred on November the 10th, 1945. After World War II, the Allied forces came to Indonesia to take over the Japanese-occupied territory. Meanwhile, Indonesia had proclaimed its independence on August 17, 1945, and refused to be under any foreign power. On October 28, 1945, Indonesian troops led by Bung Tomo began attacking Allied defense posts in Surabaya. In the battle, on October 31, 1945, the commander of the British force for East Java, Malabi, was killed. Malabi's death prompted the British to issue instruction that all Indonesian leaders and young people in Surabaya must come no later than November the 10th, 1945 at 6 a.m. at the designated place. However, the people of Surabaya did not obey this ultimatum, so the fierce Surabaya battle began on November the 10th, 1945, lasted for approximately 3 weeks. Quoting semarangkota.go.id, the Battle of Surabaya was the first war between Indonesian troops and foreign troops after the proclamation of Indonesian independence. The Battle of Surabaya was the biggest and toughest battle in the history of the Indonesian National Revolution. Around 20,000 Surabaya people, most of whom were civilians, became victims. Apart from that, it is estimated that 150,000 people were forced to leave the city of Surabaya. The number of fighters who fell and the people who became victims at that time, as well as the burning spirit of never giving up shown by the people of Surabaya, made Surabaya later remembered as a city of heroes. The determination of Heroes Day on November the 10th is based on presidential decree in 1959, which was signed by President Sukarno. Moving on to 1965, Sukarno announced guided democracy. On November the 10th, 1956, President Sukarno announced the pattern of guided democracy for the first time in the Constituent Assembly. Guided democracy is referred to as a term for a democratic government with increasing autocracy and is part of the development of democracy in Indonesia. President Sukarno's ideas for the constituency are known as the 1957 presidential conception. The main ideas in this conception are: in renewing the political structure, a guided democratic system must be implemented, which is supported by forces that reflect the aspiration of society in a balanced way. The formation of a mutual cooperation cabinet is based on a balance of community power consisting of representatives of political parties and the strength of new political groups and functional groups. End today in history with November the 10th, 2001, World Science Day for Peace and Development launch. World Science Day for Peace and Development was launched by UNESCO in 2001. It is meant to help scientists living in regions to continue to develop. This is necessary to make people aware that survival must be based on science. To create a peaceful life and harmonious sustainability, it is important to involve the community. This is why this day is considered worth celebrating. World Science Day for Peace and Development was first celebrated internationally in 2002. The commemoration not only involves governments, but also non-governmental organizations, scientists, and other professionals. That was today in history.
Di dunia tipu-tipu, kamu tempatku bertumpu. Baik jahat abu-abu, tapi warnamu putih untukku. Hanya kamu yang mengerti gelombang kepala ini. Puja-puji tanpa kata, mata kita yang bicara, selalu nyaman bersama, janji takkan kemana-mana. Puja-puji tanpa kata, mata kita yang bicara, selalu nyaman bersama, janji takkan kemana-mana. Ya, di dunia tipu-tipu, ku bisa rasa nyata denganmu. Tanpa banyak unainu, ku bisa rasa aman selalu. Hanya kamu yang mengerti gelombang kepala ini. Puja-puji tanpa kata, mata kita yang bicara, selalu nyaman bersama, janji takkan kemana-mana. Puja-puji tanpa kata, mata kita yang bicara, selalu nyaman bersama, janji takkan kemana-mana. Ya, lelucon aneh tiap hari, ku tertawa tanpa tapi, tetaplah seperti ini. Tanpa kata, mata kita yang bicara, selalu nyaman bersama, janji takkan kemana-mana.
Still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on maritime and fishery. Ministry releases first export of 243-ton fishery products to Fuzhou and Xiamen. Indonesian Minister of Maritime and Fisheries Wahyu Trenggono in Jakarta on Thursday released the first export of 243-ton fishery products in 9 containers to Fuzhou and Xiamen, China. This export product worth 18.7 billion rupiah with 243-ton volume consisted of 189 tons squid, 27 ton mackerel, and 27 ton frozen palm red fish. That was stated by Director General for Maritime and Fishery Product Competitiveness Value Strengthening at the Maritime and Fisheries Ministry, Budi Sulistio. He further said the first export from Muara Baru had fulfilled all requirements for export, both the processing feasibility certificate and export approval number to China. Woody also reported there were potential buyers from China who wanted to import fishery products from Indonesia. Those fishery products included squid, mackerel, red snapper, caroon croaker, and grouper. The intended import was 58,000 tons and worth 3.4 trillion rupiah. The release of the first fishery product export to Fuzhou and Xiamen was also held in line with the Maritime and Fishery Service Month of the Maritime and Fisheries Ministry. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Kesempatan kamu, remedi yang mungkin tak terulang. Kesempatan untuk terang hidupmu, aku tak akan menghalangimu. Aku tak mau, aku rasakan. Yakinmu dilawan ragu, tapi sampai kapan kamu menahan-nahan? Bila pergi itu solusi, kekejar mimpimu, kejar perlumu, kejar maumu. Untuk kejar mimpimu, kejar perlumu, kejar maumu. Pasti sedih menghalang legaku, melepasmu berawan pandangku. Sendu mengingat pipi merahmu, dan semua baik manis kenangmu. Ku harus mampu, rasakan. Yakinmu dilawan ragu, tapi sampai kapan kamu menahan-nahan? Bila pergi itu solusi, untuk kejar mimpimu, kejar perlumu, kejar maumu. Untuk kejar mimpimu, kejar perlumu, kejar maumu. Kita jaga tak terputus kata, segala mungkin lagi bersama. Bila sudah begitu jalannya, semoga sedih ini sementara, sementara temu lagi.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, November 10th is celebrated as Heroes Day to commemorate the Battle of Surabaya in 1945, where pro-independence Indonesian soldiers and militias fought against British and Dutch troops. The location of the Surabaya Battle, of course, has an important meaning in the history of Indonesia against colonialism. Therefore, at that location, Heroes Monument was built, namely Tugu Pahlawan. Listener, at the beginning of its construction, the Heroes Monument was carried out by the Surabaya City Hall, then continued by the Indonesian Engineering Corporation, and continued by the Saroja contractor. The monument built for 10 months was inaugurated by President Sukarno on 10th November 1952. In 1988, the arrangement of the Tugu Pahlawan Square began, which was equipped with a museum building, entrance, statues, and reliefs of the struggle. Since then, the field on the south side of the monument has also been used as a place for ceremonies and state activities. Listener, the Heroes Monument was built 41.15 meters high on an area of 2.9 hectares. This memorial consists of 11 parts or levels which are made of reinforced concrete. The top tapered part of the monument is equipped with red lights and a lightning rod. There is a golden-yellow tumpal-shaped decoration on the top and bottom. The bottom of the monument is 3.1 meters in diameter, while the top is 1.3 meters in diameter. This monument has a 10-sided plan and its surface forms vertical curved lines. The number 10 and 11 symbolize the events that occurred on 10th November 1945. Under the 7-meter deep area of the Heroes Monument, there is a museum to commemorate the services of the heroes who fought in Surabaya. In this museum, there are also photographs documenting the construction of the Heroes Monument. The museum was inaugurated on 19th February 2000 by President Abdurrahman Wahid. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
sudah langkahku untuk mencari rebahkan gundamu di pelukku.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, today's Miscellany informs you about the city of Surakarta or Solo in Central Java, Indonesia, which is included in the list of new UNESCO Creative Cities. The determination was made on October 31st in the Crafts and Folk Arts category. A statement from UNESCO's official website states that new cities are recognized for their strong commitment to utilize culture and creativity as part of their development strategy, and also demonstrating innovative practices in human-centered urban planning. UNESCO General Director Audrey Auzulay determined that there are around 55 cities that have just joined as creative cities. The addition of this new city expands UNESCO's coverage to 350 cities from more than 100 countries in the world, representing 7 creative fields, including crafts and folk arts, design, film, gastronomy, literature, media arts, and music. These cities will work together with other members of the Creative Cities Network to strengthen resilience in the face of increasing threats. The threats include climate change, increasing synchronization, and rapid urbanization, with 68% of the world's population projected to live in urban areas by 2050. Cities that included in the Creative Cities Network will also lead the way in increasing access to culture, also mobilizing the power of creativity for urban resilience and development. The 55 cities that have just joined the UNESCO Creative Cities will later be invited to participate in the upcoming 2024 UNESCO Creative Cities Network Annual Conference. This activity will be held in Braga, Portugal, with the theme Bringing Youth to the Table for the Next Decade. The cities that have just joined the UNESCO Creative Cities include Asaba as a film city, Asgabat as a design city, and Banja Luka as a music city. Well, listener, that's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
masa depan terbutakan oleh keraguan. Menderu terus menghantui sebab percaya ku tak mampu. Kau tak pernah sungguh
for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, in this episode of Music Corner, we are going to listen to a song entitled Sai Bumi Ruajurai from Lampung Province. The title of this song, created by Saiful Anwar, is the slogan and motto of Lampung Province. Sai Bumi Ruajurai, which means one earth of two kinds, refers to the area of Lampung Province, which stretches from Lake Ranau through Wai Kanan to the Java Sea, Lampung, which is rich in natural resources, especially pepper and cloves. It's home to Ruajurai, or two types of Lampung residents, namely the pesisir Saibatin and Pepadun indigenous community groups who live in the rural and highland areas. The Saibumi Ruajurai philosophy is interpreted as the spirit of unity between the two community groups in advancing Lampung Province as their common home. Alright listeners, here is the song Sai Bumi Ruajurai, sung by Kanjeng Andi Ahmad Sampurna Jaya. Happy listening!
Ujung danau ranau teliumi tuai kanan sampai pantai laut jauh pesisir Pepadun jadi sai di lom lamban Lampung sai kayo raya. Hijau nipu pemandangan
kene terlambung beruntayan tandani kemakmuran. Lampung say sang bumi ruah curang Lampung say jama sebatin sinagawi adat sikan mandawe sebambangan tari rakot melinting ciri ni ulun Lampung jama sebatin sinagawi adat sikam mandiawe sebambangan tari rakot melinting ciri ni ulun Lampung Lampung say
Voice of Indonesia.
Terima kasih. rasakan hangat dekapmu. Betapa indahnya saat-saat manis bersama. Dunia serasa hanya milik kita berdua. Apa yang terjadi? Tiba-tiba pergi kau sesuka hati tanpa pamit dan tak kembali. Cukup, cukup sudah. Akulah yang salah memberikan hatiku. Tiba-tiba hilang dirimu.
Sejati kesana kemari.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.